good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm Reverend Gail Dobert, and I welcome you to Unity of Bay City, to our wonderful podcast, Now What? Unity of Bay City is dedicated to all those who are seeking to discover their spiritual path and who strive every day to bring goodness and love into our beautiful world. How do we do that? We grow together as we discover and practice positive practical tools for our own personal and collective spiritual growth. No matter where you are on your life's journey, you are so very welcome here.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this episode of Now What? My name is Scott Love, and I will be your host as we explore the mystical and fascinating. I am joined today with Reverend Gail. How are you doing today, Gail?
I'm wonderful. How about you, Scott?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm loving summer. I really love summer, but this summer has been exceptional for me.
That's good, because I really don't enjoy summer. And I'll be glad when it's 60 or 50 degrees again.
Oh, right. So you lived up north for a long time, like the north.
Yeah. So
where in Alaska did you live exactly?
Several different places, but mostly in Eagle River, near about 20 miles north of Anchorage. Yeah.
So if you look at a map of Alaska, is that north, mid, south?
It's southeast.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. What did you enjoy most about living up in Alaska?
Oh, walking out my front door, being in the foothills of the Chugach Mountains, and the weather, of course. And it's just, there's beauty everywhere, everywhere. And in Michigan here is my mini Alaska, I call it.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, besides the northern, I like mid-Michigan really well, but there's some components of it, except the mountains that Michigan offers.
The first thing that pops in my head is, well, we do have the Porcupine Mountains, and I'm just like, but those aren't really
mountains. They're not really mountains.
But, you know.
They're cute hills.
They're cute hills. Well, they add to the visual aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat.
And the lakes, you know.
The lakes. Lakes are my jam. Yeah, this summer, I think I've already gone on 3 camping trips.
Wow.
We have 3 more planned for the summer. I'm an all-weather kind of a person. I love winter. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like winter. But like, well, first of all, why are you in Michigan?
Exactly.
Second of all, what's not to love about it? And then you get to dress up. Like, I get to be a little kid every time it snows.
That's right. Yeah. Puffer jackets and gloves and boots. And we had bunny boots in Alaska.
Bunny boots?
Yeah. They're big white. Looks like everybody's foot looks the same size because they're super insulated. It's for way below zero weather. And
are they like moon boots?
No, they're like this bulbous front on them.
Okay.
They're white, and I don't know, we call them bunny boots.
Bunny boots. That's fun. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
So how's your week going?
Good, fast.
You have a lot of stuff going on in your life right now.
I do. Yeah. I do. That's why I have to stay grounded in spirit.
That's what's up.
I have to stay knowing what the truth is.
Yeah.
It's not all the whirlwind going around me.
Yeah.
But that's part of it. That's my human part, so.
Whirlwind. The world is definitely in a whirlwind right now.
Yes. It truly is. Things seem to be moving at such a fast pace right now. We humans aren't that great at fast pace. We think we are, but because we're in this physical, dense body, everything moves at a different pace than, you know, the world seems to be turning. Yeah, something to ponder.
That's me pondering.
Yes. Now what?
So what do we have going on today?
Thinking about the lesson and the talk that I shared on Sunday, the title's Butterfly Magic.
Butterfly Magic.
Yeah. Is that really a song? You just made that up?
No, I just made
that
up.
Okay. I like it. So... And because they are magical and we're all fascinated with butterflies, we have a butterfly monarch way station here on our grounds here at Unity of Bay City. They're fascinating. And I found some really cool stuff about butterflies and the soul and how back in the Greek times and Grecian mythologies, they found the butterfly as a symbol of the soul.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder how they came up with that. I mean, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Transformation mm-hmm. and...
Yeah, all that. And it, yeah, it really... But I like the word magic because it conjures up a lot of different things. It actually mimics metaphysics, being beyond the physical. And magic, you know, we consider beyond the physical because we can't really see it happening, even sleight of hand kind of magic. So there's, like, in the late 14th century, the definition for magic was the art of influencing or predicting events and producing marvels using hidden natural forces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we humans do all
hidden
the time.
Natural forces.
Hidden natural forces. And so we can apply that to our every thought. You know, we're applying hidden natural forces to thoughts backed by feelings
right.
every day. And so I really like that one. And then in the, like in 1864, I found a, I mean, I didn't find it in 1864.
Right.
But.
Back in 1864.
Yeah, back there in 1864. That it was said to, magic was said to transform, produce, and affect it as if by magic. So, like, things were done, these hidden forces again, hidden natural forces again.
Now, isn't that right about the same time they started chasing witches?
I think that was before then.
Okay.
The witches came, I think, more in the 1700s.
Right.
But the Fillmores started Unity about that time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been quite a bit after the,
yeah, the witch trials. Yeah.
So people were a little more accepting of magic and mystery then.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book on paganism and natural spirituality, and a quote that was in the very first, probably the first paragraph of the first chapter was, and this is what stuck with me throughout the whole book because it just kept echoing, was simply, magic is in the mystery. Mm-hmm. The magic is in the mystery. So I wonder if anything that people don't understand completely seems magical to them.
Or is it? That the mystery is in the magic,
yeah.
The ability to create. And it is my belief and my experience and my study in so many different, in science and psychology and all of that, put onto this planet as creators,
mm-hmm.
ourselves, not waiting for a creator to grant us something, but we were granted as creators. And that's a big wide field. Mm-hmm. And we humans need a little help with that sometimes. So we can get mixed up. We can get greedy. We can get, you know, obsessive. We can get all those things. And that's why we come back to spirit in that love is at the foundation of mm-hmm. it, you know, truly. That's where our soul comes in. And that's where when we're in coherence, heart and mind, we move into coherence from our heart space. And then we can let go of some of that totally human thoughts that we have that mm-hmm. we think we must have or should have or couldn't get rid of. And therein lies that magic transformation and the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we do that? Well, we have to drop into our soul. We have to drop into our soul. So I talked about butterfly magic, about the total transformation. And this line that I heard, I think in a song, I think from the movie Frozen, was that where all seems lost is where all is found. And so the butterfly does that perfectly because it's like the caterpillar goes away. It goes right. in that cocoon and there's nothing left of that caterpillar. And maybe going through the transformation, We always humanize things, you know, animate them. Oh, I'm disappearing, you know. This little caterpillar, it's like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
As we do with transformation. But we can imagine them fighting, you know, like, no, I want to stay a caterpillar. And then they sink into the being a butterfly and transform completely. And from that transformation, there is nothing left of that caterpillar. Scientifically, there's nothing left. There was, and in the caterpillar, there's no foreshadowing when you look at it that it's going to be a butterfly. And that is just so cool to me, because we can do that with our own self. We want to change life. We want to, this is not what I need to be or want to be. Okay, how do we as humans, we can go and create a cocoon of what it is we want.
Right.
What it is we want, what it is that we can allow to happen in our lives, and we can transform. And a lot of times it's not the outer that's going to change, unless that's one of the goals, but it's the inner, it's your human energy field that shifts, and people notice that, not like, hey, Scott, you look different today. Yeah. How are you doing? You know, something's changed, and you're like, just doing your inner work.
Yes.
And your field expands, and your face changes, and, you know, life changes. But you don't have to tell anybody. It's probably best not to tell anybody.
You see it and feel it.
Yeah. You got to feel it and see it and then allow it to expand in your world. And what does that look like? Well, whatever you want it to.
I'm going to bring in a real quick synchronicity, if you will.
Yeah.
About a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. I was leading somebody through a Find Your Spirit Animal meditation as it was shown to me. As I'm going through this process, there's a point where you turn and you face and you introduce yourself to your spirit animal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when I do this with people, they're like, they project a jaguar or a wolf or an eagle, which is cool. That's, and what's cool about it is that it's very malleable. You know, it's spirit, like everything else. Your spirit animal can change. You know, you can have a whole Noah's Ark of spirit animals and just call on whichever one you feel you need the energy of at that moment. And so I was anticipating that this person would say something along the lines of a cat or a stallion or a horse or something. And she said butterfly. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. We spoke about that a little bit after the meditation, and then you had your sermon last week, your discussion.
Yes. I don't preach.
No sermon. Right. But then you had your discussion last week, and it was really cool because everything that you were talking about is what she brought up and what it means to her. So it was really cool.
It is beautiful. And like I said, it's been a concept that's been around and fascinated we humans for many, many, through the ages. And we can transform by the renewing of our mind. And just takes a little time every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
So how do we renew our minds?
That's why some of our classes, some of the books and things are important to understand more about what is the soul. Who am I? I'm 100% human and 100% divine. What does that even mean?
Right.
And so I think to seek understanding of just our own heritage of what transformation means. You know, first, what do you want to transform?
Mm-hmm.
You just have some thoughts that you keep running and they're just nagging at you, or, you know, childhood events that were not so great. How do you get rid of that? How do you create a cocoon where you can heal?
Mm-hmm.
And so the renewing of your mind is taking hold of, paying attention to those thoughts as they run. And you find yourself, have you seen those commercials? It's an insurance commercial, and the guy's name is Chaos or...
Oh, yeah.
What's it?
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? And these athletes are getting ready to do a real important, like, kick or a golf swing or something, and he whispers something really negative in their ear.
Yeah.
And then they miss it completely, and it causes all these chaos. And and I'm like, yeah, that's what happens. We're right there on the precipice, or we're driving along, and then all of a sudden this thought happens, and it catches us. And shifts our attention
right
down the wrong road. or another road or a harder road.
Right.
And so it's little things like that. You can go, yeah. So I could clear my mind and not pay attention to that thought, which is what we need to do.
Right.
You know, say, oh, I hear you. I hear that thought. And that's not the truth.
Right.
It's not the truth of me. It's not the truth of me now. And then go about your day.
I feel that much of society, we're talking about individual healing, but I'm going to take a look at it for a moment. I'm going to stretch that out mm-hmm. to society as a whole and the way media plays a role mm-hmm. in guiding the direction that society goes in. Because, you know, transformation is microscopic and macroscopic, internal and external, as far as I come to know it. And I think of how the media creates this cycle of fear and dread, almost as if they are intentionally. Now, whether it is or isn't, I don't know, but it feels almost as if it's intentional to distract people so much with this fear and chaos that they don't have time to get on track with their personal transformation because they're so cued into the external. Mm-hmm. And that's just what came to me when we were talking about that advertising campaign. You know, not that that's what that campaign is about. What I'm saying
is it's about creating fear that if I lose my focus for a minute, something bad's going to happen. That's how insurance was born and bred and continues today.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about fear. And sadly, many religions started based on that same premise. If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. And that there's a place there waiting for us that's going to get us. And so putting those kind of fears on our mind takes a little work. But that's one of my little mottos is little and often.
Mm-hmm.
Do this little and often. People, oh, I can't meditate. Well, then don't.
Right.
You know, go into quiet contemplation. Go into just trying to be coherent. Have some gentle flow between your heart and your mind and allow your mind, that word equanimity, calm mm-hmm. mind. How do you get there? And you can, there's plenty of YouTubes and CDs and people who will teach from like the theta music, just something in the background that's this vibrational energy that helps you get there. You don't have to sit in a room with no music, no sound, no nothing, no people to meditate. In fact, one workshop I took long, long ago, we were doing meditations. It was a spiritual retreat. And the facilitator took a metal cookie sheet and metal forks and style, you know, all that stuff. And we were in a meditative state, you know, laying and just relaxing and focusing on staying with that calm mind, calm body. And he walked around shaking that.
Mm.
Shaking that metal cookie plate with the cookie tray with all this and just rack it like crazy. And that was our intention, was to be able to hear it, acknowledge it. I hear that noise and it doesn't affect me.
Right. And so
I'm not allowing it to affect me. I allow peace right now. We can do that in a traffic jam. We can do that on a day, busy day at work. One good place is to go to the bathroom and lock the door,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just be there and breathe. Start in your heart space there and breathe. And that's it. Little and often. Little and often. And then it becomes a habit that's good for us.
That's cool. Very good. Very good.
I talked about, you know, butterfly magic and our human magic and our soul magic. And it's really all, of course, related. It's all the same thing. But as we drop into that concept and like I said, seek to understand. And when we understand something, we get it at a deep level. Maybe it's a misunderstanding that we've had about how powerful we are or are not. Maybe it's something that's not serving us. So basically, look at your outer life and say, is this matching what I think I want, what I say I want? And if it's not, why? Why? What thoughts are running that are overriding your thoughts of prosperity, your thoughts of creativity, wanting to write a book, wanting to just get a different job that affords you more freedom of whatever it is you want? So whatever it is, doesn't have to be this lofty goal. And I have to go back to Dr. Phil, who I really hardly ever watched, but how's that working for you?
Yeah.
How's that thought working for you? I think this is from Eric Butterworth. Vitality comes from life force, which is quite simply the frequency of the miracle of life. Our vibes in our energy field, it's truly almost beyond comprehension that we exist in the way that we do, with bodies that sense, hands that can give healing, language that can move our emotions, voices that carry sound, mouths with which to chew, wombs that gestate, and minds that create. There's the magic of our spiritually human self that we get to embrace as we take times in our cocoons and transform into what it is you want life to be.
What about the person that is so... I'm thinking about the person that is so overwhelmed with distractions that... Like this conversation that we're having could be the very first time they've heard some of these words. And of course, they're going to be like, yeah, that sounds good. What is something?
But now what?
Yeah, but now what? What is something?
What do I do with all that information, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. What suggestion would you have to somebody that is just opening up to the possibility of their own power?
Finding a community is helpful, but not absolutely important. Probably more important for folks who consider themselves extroverts. Need people, need the energy vibes. If you're not one of those, there's a lot of wonderful resources on YouTube, and you can call it just meditation. You can call it transformation of the mind. You can say, I want my life to be different. How do I do that? Now what do I do? And I go back to little and often finding time to breathe, just to breathe intentionally. The body breathes us, so we're off the hook on that, right? But if we intentionally take a few breaths and settle down that mind of ours just for a few moments, and then that feels good. And then maybe later that day, you're going to do that again. Truly, little and often, and baby steps.
Right.
Baby steps. Breathing, getting into coherence. That means helping your body and your mind kind of come into sync.
Yeah.
Just start right where you are. And always reach out. We're never alone in spirit and in this world. You know, unless that's what you choose, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's good to get feedback, and it's good to get, you know, maybe some counseling or something. But you can start right where you are.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good segue, because I'd like to take a moment to just invite the listener to check out what is being offered at Unity of Bay City, or any Unity in your community, whether you're near Bay City or not. You can go to the Unity of Bay City Facebook page or the Unity of Bay City website to find out how to connect with the Unity community. And that's, I mean, that's the reason I came. My partner and I moved to Bay City, and for the first 2 years, we were in a bubble, you know? And I kept feeling like I wanted to reach out to community. And then she mentioned, hey, why don't we go check out this Unity of Bay City? And I was like, well, I'm familiar with Unity. So we came here, and within just a few short weeks, I just felt that pent up, I'm all alone, nobody really gets me feeling. Because I realized, you know, there's so many different kinds of people that come to these Unity groups. Your beliefs are your beliefs, and we're here to celebrate life and to collectively move forward, either as individuals on a spiritual path, or but there's intellectual, there's spiritual, there's physical. There's a lot of people here that are on a improved physical path.
Yes.
You know, which now I think would be a great time to interject that I'm 1/3 of my way to my weight loss goal.
Nice.
Yeah. In the last 2 months, I've lost and maintained having put off 8 to 10 pounds on a regular basis. My goal is to get down to 170, 175.
Nice.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. So the point is that aside from patting myself on the back about losing weight.
Well, good on you.
The thing about it is that I was inspired to this new trajectory that I've been on. The choices that I've been making have been inspired by things that I've had in conversation with the community here at Unity. And so it's neat because I come here, and I come here on Sunday for the sake of, you know, hey, look at these people that I love. And we're getting to know each other, and we're finding out about each other. And then, you know, we communicate. And then every week it's like, I'm learning a little bit more about people. So there's that sense of community. But there's also the talk. We're going to have the talk
the
now.
The talk.
but then it's that might have triggered something that opened up conversation at the tables. And that's really where the impactful message
comes. Come to our cafe and hang out, drink coffee, and usually always something to eat.
Yeah.
And we can break bread together that way. But you think you're all alone in this, like you said earlier, and you're not, because there's so many people that are just thinking the same things, or are on that path, and it's like, really, mm-hmm. you feel that way too?
Yeah.
And that's one of the beautiful things about a spiritual community like Unity, is that that's how you felt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. Yeah. And we're so not the only one. And, you know, we can fall victim to our own thoughts, or we can choose to rise from that victim. We victimize ourselves.
We do.
Just like that commercial I was talking about, you know. And there is in ministerial school, one of my teachers she just made her transition in 2022, but she was born in early 50s, and she had a rare form of dwarfism. And so they put her in this bassinet in the back of the hospital and told her parents, she's not going to live very long. So you might as well just realize that. And so after a couple of days, they came storming back into the hospital, and they said, we want to take our beautiful little girl home for as long as she's going to be around. And that woman was in her 70s. She gave birth to a daughter. You know,
in her 70s?
No. I mean, as a young woman.
Okay.
She grew up about 2.5 feet tall.
She wasn't 70 when she...
No, she wasn't.
She lived to be in her 70s.
Yes.
Okay.
And she was like about 2.5 feet tall. She gave birth to a daughter. She had a marriage. She became a lawyer. And then she became a minister. I'm like, I know a lot of lawyers who became ministers. Yes, I don't know what that is about. But so that little in stature woman, nobody ever blinked twice, because her aura was so big. She knew who she was. She knew the truth.
That's so cool.
You know, her soul was singing life. And so we can overcome really anything. We really can, physical and emotional.
Even mayhem.
Even mayhem. That's the name of the guy in the commercial.
Is,
mayhem.
Right.
So don't create mayhem in your own self. And when you do, catch it.
Right.
And say, that's not the truth of me, right? So, yeah, it's, again, the mystery, the magic The magic lies in the mystery, or the mystery lies in the magic. I don't know, but it keeps us here on Earth.
Yeah.
And it keeps us exploring to discover and use, discover stuff, and then use what you learn.
Right.
Use what resonates with you.
Those are key words right there. Mm-hmm. What resonates with you.
You, exactly.
That's the key, I think. Because to me it feels unnatural to try and warp my mind around ideas that just don't feel legit to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that. They'll find one aspect of something they can identify with and stretch that out to cover up all the things that they don't feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, a good example of that would be maybe modern political movements, mm-hmm. where they hear one thing that they agree with and they just focus on that and ignore all the other red flags.
So, and here's a word that is tricky and a word that you must really pay attention to is saying, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe in, you know, this political party. Well, what is that? Beliefs are pretty powerful. It's thoughts backed by your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But the feelings are external to your thoughts.
Right.
But they play a big part in it. So if you want to change the thought, like, I believe, and then something happens and you go, I believe that?
Right.
Or is that serving me well? So you've got to watch that word belief, you know? Do I believe in Jesus as my Savior, Lord and Savior, that I can only come to a good place in life through Him? I do not believe that, because that's not what He was.
To you.
To me.
Right.
To me, He was a mystic,
right.
A teacher. When I read about Him, that's what I get, but I don't believe it. I have to explore it. I have to discover it for myself.
And then, you know, and it's again, like, what resonates with you? Because
yeah.
for a lot of people, like, I have personally witnessed people whose life was in mayhem. Mm-hmm. You know, their life was chaos. They consistently made bad choices. They didn't. And then they did, quote unquote, turn their life over to Jesus. And now they're the happiest I've ever
yeah.
seen them. Again, the magic is in the mystery, or the mystery is in the magic. You know, it's almost as if whatever you fully believe will manifest.
Yes.
And so that's what another thing that I think about sometimes is that we say that God is infinite and that love is infinite and that, you know, the universe is infinite. Well, then that means it is everything, including the things you don't think or want it to be.
Absolutely.
It's everything.
Everything.
Yep.
It's the good, the bad, the ugly, yep. the wonderful, the beautiful, the love, the hate, the all of that stuff. You know, we can't expect it, life, to be a certain way, but we can expect us to pay attention to what part we're taking in, where our beliefs are focused, where our thoughts are training us.
Right.
You know, for something we may have heard as a child that
programming.
We're still programming.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to break that program.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's not all about, it's not Pollyanna positivity.
Right.
It's not like if you pray every day and meditate every day, your life's going to be perfect. It's not. Humanity doesn't move that way. Things happen.
Right.
Life happens.
I often think of different spiritual beliefs, mm-hmm. such as we were just touching on Christianity, as almost being portals, if you will, mm-hmm. in this sense that I understand the attraction to Christianity, not necessarily the ritual or the hierarchy of accessibility, but the idea that we can be forgiven, that's the biggest thing I think that people are attracted to. You can be forgiven and have new life brought into you. And so what I say by I think that the different spiritual beliefs are like portals for me. As this is just, again, as it resonates to me, I can approach Christianity without all the bells and whistles and just in my mind, as if I have this babble fish in my mind, see that really what it all comes down to is, first of all, forgiving yourself and being forgiven. And then that opens you up. And then it takes you to the next portal, which might be, okay, now that we're forgiven, how do we maintain? Well, maybe that's where we step into Buddhism. And maybe, okay, well, we go through this getting off the wheel of suffering. Well, how do we do that? Well, by not creating suffering in our own life. And then we can get into, you know, all these different beliefs. And so, and that's another thing I love about unity is that there is no one path.
No.
It's a place where you can be introduced to a lot of different portals, whether that's thought or whether that's emotion or whatever.
Yeah. So. And like you said, you know, what is it that resonates with you? Is it chanting? Is it we have sanghas here at Unity of Bay City every Wednesday evening, which is a Buddhist meditation. And so it's not like you must follow the rules of what the Fillmores wrote or any of that. There's a good basis of understanding how the universe works as best we know how, right. You know, and then you experiment. That's why I say discover and use. And if that's not working for you, then you need to keep discovering, right? You need to find what really resonates with me and what's been working in my life and not working. Even when life isn't working, you've got that basis, that foundation of, and I talk about this a lot too, you know, there's order and then there's disorder and then there's reorder. And that's, you can see that flow everywhere throughout the ages and in your own life. The catch is you don't want to go from disorder and try to get back to the old order. It's never going to be.
No.
So you set and create the new order, a new way. And so when we get familiar and can feel how that flow goes, and life is a flow, think of your body, everything has to flow. And if it doesn't, then we get heart problems or intestinal problems or vision problems when things aren't flowing. And so stepping into the flow of choices, of thoughts, with how it resonates with you, where do you start? It's just different energy fields.
Whatever they're attracted to.
Yeah.
Whatever resonates with them.
That's right.
Very good.
Yeah. We began as such finely tuned, beautiful miracles. We did. We came into this planet, this beautiful little miracle, whether it was a baby girl that was so deformed and they didn't give her any room for life because she wasn't like the other babies.
Right.
Or a perfectly formed child. There's always possibilities in our humanity, especially when we reach out to each other and see that truth, see that love. So.
Very good.
Yeah, there it is.
And on that note, let's just sit with that for a minute. Let's just sit here and take a look at where we are as individuals. Do we feel that we are, as they say, living our life's purpose? And if not, what will help us transform? What will help us go from that caterpillar to that butterfly? A lot of times the answers are not obvious. It's not like we're going to get a list. Sometimes it's when we're thinking about things the way we feel about them. Like Bashar says, follow your highest excitement. You know, if you want to live your truth, follow your highest excitement, not the one that's laid out for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Gail. I really appreciate these chats we have. I feel like they have become an integral part of my personal path. You know, it's about committing to practices, and creating these podcasts has become a practice for me. That's part of my weekly, bi-weekly, our monthly practice or whenever we get this opportunity.
Whenever we do, yeah.
You know, this, I believe this will be our 11th episode.
Really?
I think so. I'm going to go back and check.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
And in my life, it's been a little bit of chaos.
Mayhem.
That's the word I keep saying.
Yeah.
And yet, this is my foundation. And even skipping a couple of weeks, I feel that because it's a chance to express and to remind myself of what the truth of who I am is, whatever that may be and as it changes. So I appreciate you, Scott. And these conversations are just so much fun and take us down all kinds of pathways. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.